If you're into designer furniture and you want the sofa that broke the internet, you don't have to go broke to get it. Because Designer Looks Furniture has all the same styles and trends and all the quality, but without the designer prices. Check them out. Designer Looks at Value City Furniture or designerlooks.com.
Hi, this is Mike Haas, new voice of the Saints and Odyssey Radio. You are listening to Tina and Jeff on Floors Truly Podcast.
Live from New Orleans, home of your Saints, Pelicans, and the Hudat Nation, this is Tina and Georgette with Floors Truly. Hello, my friend. How are you doing today on this beautiful Tuesday?
I am doing very well. Thank you. How are y'all doing?
I am doing very, very good. A lot better than some of our Saints players on this injury report.
Yep. Aren't we all?
Oh my goodness. This thing, I swear, I made the joke about the CVS receipt last week, but it still looks like a CVS receipt with some coupons on it.
So 100%.
The good news is it looks like we're going to have Mark Ingram back. He was full practice yesterday and today, as well as Taysom Hill, who, if you pay attention to the Twitter rumors, there was a report yesterday from Ian Rappaport that it looks like Taysom Hill's getting the start on Thursday night against Dallas. So that will be interesting to see what he can do. It also, another report that came out from one of our local reporters that he was dealing with his foot injury, but it obviously, if he's practiced the last 2 days, maybe it's not as serious as we all thought. But then again, we've been kind of on the gloom and doom since we've seen these injury reports over the last couple of weeks. Kamara and his knee injury, he's been limited in practice, so that's a little bit positive news. But we'll just, you know, like I told you last week, we'll just see how it goes. We are not favored to win. This is a home game against the Cowboys, who's looked pretty impressive. They're fighting for their spot in the playoffs as well. And all I can say is, Hudat Nation, show up, be loud and proud. The injury report for Dallas doesn't look as bad as the Saints injury report does, but they are dealing with a COVID breakout there with their head coach as well as some other coaches. So they're kind of in the same situation we were in back in the first couple of weeks of the season. So it'd be interesting to see if and how that plays out on the field on Thursday night.
Fun fact, they're going to bring Dan Quinn in to coach, and him being the Falcons head coach for a couple of years, we are quite used to him. So this should be good times. It should be interesting to see how that goes on Thursday.
Oh, I miss good old Dan. I miss good old Dan, because Sean Payton had Dan's number, it seemed to be, when he was over there in Atlanta.
Sure did.
So yes, that'll definitely be fun. So, you know, all the Hudats that are going out to the game on Thursday, definitely be there, show up early, be loud and proud, make a difference in that dome. It definitely could tell. There was a lot of Bills fans at the game on Thanksgiving, but as we mentioned before, Bills Mafia is a great fan base. They travel well. A lot of people that I talked to that had interactions with them said they had a great time. Proud of my city for being so hospitable to them. And I'm glad they showed up and spent their money, because our city needs that hospitality and tourism money right now. So I'm glad they had a good time. I'm not glad that they won, but it is what it is. You can't boast a win against a team that's got like 11 starters out. I mean, I'm not saying it because it's my team, but Georgette, I think you can agree with me on this. It's really hard to sit there and brag about a win against a team that's as beat up and battered as the Saints are right now.
100%. And if you went on Bills Mafia Twitter, even they were saying that game was far too close for a banged up Saints team, and they were not impressed with the performance of their own team, particularly the first half of the game, where it was 10-0. And, you know, the two interceptions that we got, we couldn't capitalize on. But I would tell you that the Bills Mafia, not impressed with the fact that the Bills team, we were able to hold them in check for the entire first half of the game. And I suspect if our offense had been able to keep the defense in check for the Bills, and have been able to monopolize that time, we would have had a better outcome for ourselves. Our own defense, as you know, became quite exhausted by the second half. And that's when the Bills Mafia was, or the Bills team was able to really capitalize on that.
Yeah. So, and that's why I really, people were asking me about it. Well, you're usually so vocal and really brutal in your recaps. And I said, I can't do it this week. I said, yeah, Buffalo is a great team. Buffalo and Tennessee, I said this a million times. Those are the two teams that are going to be battling it out in the AFC. And I mean, the Buffalo Bills are a really good team. Josh Allen is a great quarterback. I can fault the defense for certain things, but when you're on the field as much as you were, and then the fact that the offense didn't, like you'd mentioned, didn't capitalize on those turnovers. I mean, what are you going to do? You can be +3 in a turnover margin, but if you don't get points off of it, then there's nothing to say about that. And that goes back to the fact that, you know, we don't have our quarterback. We don't have our running backs. We don't have our number one wide receiver. We really don't have wide receivers, period. But I mean, they did look a little bit better last week. I mean, I say very little bit better, but I mean, I think that's, again, it's something that's going to take time. And if we do make the change, and as I expect, we make the change at quarterback this week with Taysom, I think you may see some improvement on that end because Taysom has more time with this team. And they, like, again, we're in a quarterback battle all through training camp. So he has more time working with these, you know, I say ones and twos, but it's more of the twos group this week. So it will be interesting to see what happens. But it's really going to come down to capitalizing on turnovers, getting pressure on Dak and see, you know, where those points will come from. Will it come from touchdowns? Will we have field goals? Are we going to even make field goals and extra points? That's been an issue all season. So, you know, again, my expectations are low just because of how beat up we are. I'm still supporting and riding down this team. I just, you know, I'm not going to stress on, you know, the W's right now because I just know that we're really going up on an uphill battle.
Here's the only other thing I'll say, and because I T-Money Sizzle or whatever his nickname is, God bless him. Drew Brees made an amazing connection for me last week when he was doing the announcing, and I suddenly understood where the problem might be for Trevor Siemian. And if we see him this week or we don't, it'll be interesting. It's when he was in the pocket and, you know, he was stepping out and the O-line would collapse before he could get the ball out. And Drew was explaining that he was 10 yards back instead of the 8 or the 7. And I suddenly understood that the reason he's not getting the ball out to the receivers in time, or maybe necessarily connecting with them, is that he is too far back, and that's why he's getting sacked. And so I'm hopeful that if he is in this week, that is something that Sean is helping him to understand, that O-line is not going to be able to protect him. Like, if he's 10 yards back instead.
Right. Everybody has to be lined up in the right position.
Yeah. He can't keep dropping back so that he's 10 yards back. He's got to get back into that pocket so that he's like at that 8 or the 7 so that he can step up. And this is where, when I heard Drew say that, I'm like, that's the problem. I mean,
because we don't see it because we're watching it on television or at the dome, and we don't see it, you know, from our perspective of what he's seeing, because it's something he's done, you know, for the last 20 years. So it's an interesting perspective, but I'll have to watch that and see if he does actually line up under center this week. So,
yeah.
It's gonna be a good game no matter what happens because our team is playing. We just, you know, hope and pray for a win and no injuries. And speaking of praying, it seems like LSU fans have had the answers to their prayers there, as it was announced that Coach Ogeron was leaving LSU and he coached his last game, which I was kind of surprised that if LSU does get asked to play in a bowl game that he wouldn't finish that out. But they apparently got their guy in Brian Kelly, which this is a big hire for LSU, but it's also coming with a lot of controversy. I am seeing LSU fans very mixed about this decision. He comes from Notre Dame with a program that's 44-6 since 2017. And this team actually may even make the playoffs, But the problem that they're having is, one, the capacity that he left, that basically he broke up with Notre Dame in a text message. Yeah. And this isn't the first time that this has happened. He did this previously with Cincinnati. So there's an issue with that. And then on top of it, there's also some issues with an incident that happened with one of their videographers that was actually killed. And there was a incident where, you know, he has had some, and I don't know if it's true, I retweeted it. One of the reporters broke down the story, but they were saying that some of his assistant coaches was invited to a Christmas party and they thought that they were there as guests and they were actually put to work. So, I mean, there's a lot of like rumblings going on. If you follow us on social media, you see me tweeting it because it is breaking news, but I mean, a lot of LSU fans are excited because of what he can bring. But I mean, to me, it's like, we're just now, and I say escaping a controversy with Coach O and everything that led into him being let go. And then now you've got this other controversial, who's even more controversial, in my opinion, especially because of the type, you know, the type of player and the wins that he brings here and what he can bring. So it's going to be interesting to see what happens. I had some people say, oh, you know, y'all are going to be sorry about that. And then some of them are like, man, you know, it's a good hire. But at the end of the day, I know wins and losses is all that really counts. And I mean, if he brings a championship here, all the other stuff will just kind of be forgiven. But me looking at it from a standpoint of it being college and they molding these guys, and it's like, what kind of example are you setting for these younger impressionable players to have such baggage coming with you now?
I know. And when we talked about it earlier today, I said to you, you know, it appears, you know, from the outside that this fellow is about himself and he's not overtly concerned about whom he may step on to get to where he needs to be, to include his guys. And so, you know, if what your primary concern as a fan is the number of games you win and the number of bowl games you make it to, then this may be your dude. And that's great if that's your primary concern. That's not only my concern, because these are impressionable young guys that are headed to the NFL. And so having someone that can get them the right guidance is also critical to me. And call me naive or a wide-eyed optimist, I'm okay with that. And it's cool if that's how you want to label me, but I feel like you want to have a decent human being leading these guys. So winning is great. Can't lie.
It was shocking. It was honestly shocking to me because I didn't know much about him. I don't follow other teams in the SEC and in college in general. I'm a Saints fan. I'm an NFL fan. I follow all of the NFL teams. And of course, being, you know, Louisiana girl, I follow LSU. So yeah. I was very shocked when people were coming to me saying, hey, what do you think about this? And I'm like, I honestly don't know. I need to go do my research. And then I had people telling me things. And I was just like, wait a second, this, you know, I had to do some homework for a couple of hours on this. So very interesting. We'll see what happens. Yeah. Of course, if anything else controversial breaks, we'll be definitely retweeting that and talking about it on social media if you follow us. But before we wrap, we know we are like in the heart of Christmas season now. Of course, Thanksgiving was last week. Everybody, I hope you had a wonderful Thanksgiving. Christmas in the Oaks here started in New Orleans. It started Thursday night. It's $40 a car. So you can go do the driving tour. It's 25 acres through City Park. It's absolutely gorgeous. And they are selling out times very quickly. So if you have an opportunity to get your tickets, go online, celebrationoaks.com. Pick out a time slot. You can go to Carousel Gardens as well. Or if you just want to bring the kids out and do the driving tour, which is really nice because if it's a little too cold or it's muggy, you don't have to get out and experience it. You can stay in your car, turn on the Christmas music and enjoy it. It's something years ago, I can say from when I was younger, not that long ago, I used to go to Celebration in the Oaks and it was really a good time. So I'm glad that people are really checking it out now. And it, like I said, it was extremely successful this weekend. I checked out the tickets this morning before I wrote up everything for the show today. And I saw a lot of time slots already booked for this weekend. So if you haven't gotten your tickets, they are starting to sell out. So go online, check that out. It's going to be fun. But Georgette, I got to ask you about that Christmas movie list that I tweeted a little while ago. from Barstool Sports, which that kind of says it all, but I mean, crazy. This is going to be a controversy. We're going to be talking about it online. This Christmas list, if you go follow us online, you'll see what we're talking about. The top 10 Christmas movies of all time. All right. You tell me, Georgette, number one, what is your favorite Christmas movie?
Okay. It's not even a White Christmas, hands down, my favorite all-time Christmas movie. You can't beat it. That sequence at the end with, I mean, it's just, it's everything. But if you need an actual Christmas movie, it's Die Hard. It's not even on the list. Are they kidding me?
No, I know this is going to stir up stuff tomorrow. So be prepared, because there's always a debate every year, the great debate, whether Die Hard is a Christmas movie or not.
It's a Christmas movie. It happens at Christmas.
But it's not even on the list.
Bad Santa is on this list, my friend.
Bad Santa is one of my favorite Christmas movies. God. And I think Bad Santa is a little too low on this list, to be honest with you. And Trading Places, someone had messaged me and said that was not on here. Yes. And look, I love Vince Vaughn, and I think Fred Claus is a really cute movie, but Fred Claus does not belong at number three.
You're right.
Sorry.
100%.
You put Christmas Story number seven. There's a reason why TBS and TNT and all these channels play this 24 hours a day, and they get ratings through the roof, is because A Christmas Story is one of the best movies. I don't care if you think it's cheesy. They've had musicals. They've had the ICE exhibit out in Nashville at Opryland dedicated to A Christmas Story. There's so many things that's dedicated to A Christmas Story. That leg lamp is a top seller every year. So how the heck do you have it at number seven? Blows my mind. That's my personal favorite. Dan and I watch it every year on Christmas Eve. I make cookies and we sit and we watch it at like the 7 o'clock showing. And then we watch it the next morning on Christmas Day. So I'm shocked it's at seven. But Home Alone, okay, I see Home Alone. But then you've got Home Alone 2 and 3. I don't know where this list came from. Awesome. I mean, Elf and Christmas Vacation, I totally agree. They deserve to be on there. It's just the ranking. Home Alone 3 at 6 just shouldn't even be on that list.
No.
You need to put Die Hard somewhere on there. Yeah. It is the most bizarre thing. If y'all are listening to this and you have no idea what I'm talking about, I will retweet it tomorrow. It's on my account now. I was talking about it. It's Barstool Sports. They tweeted out their list of the top 10 Christmas movies. Tell us if you agree. Tell us if you don't agree, and what would be your number one Christmas movie? Because we definitely want to hear about that. We're in the heart of Christmas season. Next week on the show, we'll be talking about some of our favorite New Orleans recipes, and hopefully we'll be celebrating a win and maybe having a couple of shots to celebrate a big win against the Cowboys this week. We would really love that. But as always, I want to thank y'all for joining us on Floors Truly. And if you need to discuss this crazy Christmas list, or you want to talk to us about LSU's new hire, or what you think the Saints are going to do Thursday night, hit us up on Twitter. I'm Tina at the NOLA Girl. And of course, you can catch us, the Floors Truly account. We're on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter.
You can find me at Georgie68. That's Georgie with two E's, 68, on the Twitter.
Yes. And we'll be discussing more Christmas movies, I have a feeling, over the next couple of weeks, because these crazy lists are going to be coming up. That and Christmas music as well. Absolutely. So I hope everybody has a fabulous week. Go Saints. Hoo dat, baby. And we will see you next week on Floors Truly.